Talking with Kent Backus, of course, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, their trade guru. I think that's a real title, Kent, but I'd lobby for that one. Let's talk about where we are right now with these exports. The exports for 2021, we're waiting for those final December numbers, but incredible, incredible year in the face of all the challenges.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the fact that we're going to exceed $10 billion for 2021 is astounding. I mean, that is a tremendous tremendous jump from the previous year. I mean, not only on a volume, but a value aspect of it. It's the fact that you have tight global supplies and incredibly strong demand for protein. And for beef, for U.S. beef in particular, no one can compete with us on, for that grain finished product. When you look at the quantity and quality of what we can sell, no one can come close. And there's a strong, strong demand, especially in Asia, but across the world. I think there are a couple other big factors that are playing to our advantage. The fact that, China is dependent on protein imports, and the fact that, you've got shortages. Because of that, you've got consumers that are looking beyond some of their traditional purchases. They're looking for beef. It's kind of the new item. It's the hot item. And once they taste our product, they don't want anything else. And it may sound a little bit arrogant, but it's true. I mean, the fact is we're dominating in a lot of these key markets. And now that consumers have had a taste of our product and can afford it, they want more of it. And I think we're going to build on that. I hope that 2022 just builds on that success. I don't see anything that could, disrupt that. But at the same time, you never know what's around the corner. Mm-hmm. I don't want to jinx it. I want to keep riding high on this and put more of those dollars back in producers' pockets, because when you look at exports alone, you're talking $400 per head. $400 per head. I mean, I remember we used to get excited about $160 per head. We're talking $400 per head. That export value is going to continue to grow. And Ron, a lot of that has to do simply because, we have 96% of the population, the global population, outside of our borders. And they want that higher quality product, and they want our product. So, we're hopeful that – supply chain disruptions are not going to, continue to plague us in 2022. Hopefully we're able to adapt and overcome those things, because the demand is there. There's no question about it.
You mentioned China. China is a fascinating market in how quickly it's growing. They already were a huge beef customer before they really added the U.S. product into their mix. And you have to go back. I know we've talked about this multiple times before, but it wasn't just the numbers that we got out of that China trade deal for the beef industry, but it was the entire change in how they treated our product at the end of the day.
It was a complete shift in regulatory approach to U.S. beef. If you look back a couple of years ago, we were banned. You could not legally import U.S. beef. We were going through gray channels. There was black market involved, and people wanted our product, but they couldn't get their hands on it. And once the Chinese government switched, its mentality and once they started understanding how we produce our animals and how we produce our beef, they got it. They understood, okay, the Americans know what they're doing. We have nothing to fear. And in fact, we need to trust them system-wide. Because we need that product. And so as a result, we've gone from having no presence at all to China quickly becoming, we've exceeded $1 billion, easily in 2021. China alone could be our biggest export market in the next year.
Right.
And we have not scratched the surface at all. But it is a game-changing shift in their view of how we raise our products. So, lifting the BSE restrictions, removing the hormone ban, working with us on all of our traceability requirements, simply recognizing USDA's authority to approve different packing facilities for export. That is huge for cattle producers. To put that in perspective, for most countries, it's the Chinese government that has to approve individual packing facilities for export. Mm-hmm. For the United States, it's the U.S. government that does that. And China recognizes that authority. So whereas in Australia or New Zealand, you may have a handful of plants that are eligible for export to the Chinese market. So you have limited opportunities for their producers to sell to the Chinese market. For the United States, we have thousands of packing facilities that are approved, which means that, you know, if you've got a regional plant or you've got a big plant, doesn't matter. If they have that FSIS approval, they can export to China, and that opens up a whole new world of opportunities. Right. But it also means that, you know, anytime, you know, one plant has an issue, the entire system doesn't go down. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that with some of these other markets. We've also seen China use leverage on some of these other countries to do that same thing. The United States, that's not a possibility. Mm-hmm. So it is a hedge of protection against some of the politicized aspects of trade that we've suffered tremendously from in the past. For that, I give our negotiators a tremendous amount of credit for being able to secure that. That's an enormous feat. And we are the envy of the rest of the world because of our trade relationships with China.
Right. One thing that's out there, and we kind of alluded to this a little bit as we began this conversation, that choke point of problems right now with the supply chain, it hasn't kept us from doing that $10 billion number, but still the very worrisome.
Yeah, I mean, the big question is how much are we leaving on the table? When you have, you know, port disruptions and you have other, you know, other issues like that, it kind of makes you wonder, okay, what would things be like, you know, in a time when we didn't have all these issues?
Right.
Times are good for us in the export side, and I think they can be much better. I think, I applaud the Biden administration for prioritizing supply chains and for taking a top to bottom review and to look at, you know, where, you know, areas where we can make improvements. But I think that's a two-edged sword. We have to look at ways where, you know, there may be government regulations or other things that should be removed or should be modified to encourage the free flow of commerce. At the same time, you always have people that are, you know, protectionist or, you know, anti-competitive that want to use that as a vehicle to restrict that entrepreneurial spirit that we have in the cattle industry. I don't think we're seeing much of that just yet out of the Biden administration. They really are looking at what are the practical ways that we can make these improvements and just keep riding that success of exports. But what I would like to see is a shift in the administration where instead of just defending what we have, we're out and taking new ground and we're out securing new market access. And I don't see that as how can we just build export numbers overall. If you truly want to build and strengthen your supply chains, you have to diversify them. Mm-hmm. And you have to diversify them with objective rules so that there's no, political theater that happens like we've seen with some of our other trade partners.
I guess that would be my last question, Ken, as far as, you know, looking out with the Biden administration now, you know, starting to get their feet really on the ground in a lot of these areas, including the USTR's office. Are you sensing that we're going to be seeing more conversations about bilateral agreements or the multilateral approach? I mean, we knew pretty quick what President Trump wanted. He wanted those bilaterals. Where are we with Katherine Tai?
So I think I still think the administration's not going to be tied to one approach. I think they're going to look what is the most practical and honestly, what's the most realistic way of improving our trade agreements? I don't think we're going to see, you know, some of the threats to pull out like we did with the previous administration pulling out of different agreements. But I also don't think that they're just tied to a bilateral approach. Mm-hmm. We would encourage a bilateral approach. Given the size of the U.S. economy, I think it's always important to play to your strengths. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't look at some of those multilateral opportunities too. And for us at NCBA, we're very interested in initiating and continuing to build on these these trade negotiations with the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. You know, now that they are completely out of the EU and they're looking to put science-based trade in play, this gives us a tremendous opportunity. Now, this is a market that's lived under that EU mindset for 40 years, so they have certain ways they think about hormones and about animal welfare and other things like that. And I think the more conversations we have and we show how similar our production standards actually are, you know, I think in the long run we're going to have a UK consumer that wants more US beef because they trust it. You know, a lot of folks have said, you know, this is going to be a tough market for you. And we're like, yeah, we agree. But a lot of people told us not to bother engaging with Korea, with Japan, with China, because it was too tough. Because you never convince their government or their consumers to buy U.S. beef. And look who our top three markets are now. So I think, you know, we have a great product. We have a great story. And we want to share it with the rest of the world. UK is a good opportunity. I think we have some other places, you know, in Africa, in Asia, that we need to be looking for. And hopefully, you know, in the next 2 years of the Biden administration, we'll kind of follow what the Obama administration did and have a shift back towards using trade to advance policies. And I'm optimistic that that's where they're going to go.
Good.